Hello, everyone. This is part one of another two-part episode. We'll have part two for you on Friday. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy part one of Rethinking Social Distancing.
Welcome into True Worldview, your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the issues that matter. I'm Paul Dean. Christy Johnson is not with me today. This is not a new trend. She and her husband are in the process of moving. They're still out west, but moving across town. She should be back with me on our very next broadcast. Today, I want to talk about a number of things that'll be rather eclectic, although they'll all be related to the coronavirus. But my primary concern is the whole issue of social distancing. Came across a verse in the Old Testament. I think it's appropriate now in context, certainly about ancient Israel and some dynamics that were going on there. But I think it's an apt description of the cities in which we find ourselves, certainly all over the world, but particularly here in America. Lamentations 1:1 says this: "How lonely sits the city that was full of people." And that's so true. We're on these stay-at-home orders. We've been ordered to, you know, stay in our homes except for going to work or, you know, things that are essential. You understand where we are. I don't have to remind you of that. But it's an odd feeling. It's an odd dynamic, at least in certain areas. It's not so odd if you go to the grocery store, the Home Depot, or certain places like that. And we'll get to that, but certainly apropos, how lonely sits the city that was full of people. Listen to this: "How like a widow is she, the heavy loss that I sense." And I know that you sense it as well in many ways. I mean, certainly the loss of life. There are those who have tragically died from COVID-19, but also the loss of, jobs for a lot of people. And I think a lot of us have an inkling of what the future may be, at least the near future economically, and I think a lot of us don't. I don't say that by way of criticism. I pray that we're all prepared for whatever it may end up being. I heard today, and this is something that we had been talking about privately for actually several weeks, we felt, based on the folk that we were reading, that there would be food shortages. It wasn't going to be, you know, toilet paper and paper products only, that certainly we were going to be faced with other kinds of shortages. And obviously, if there are food shortages, then we are in real trouble. And now in the mainstream media over the last day or two, and certainly heard it on several news outlets today, they're worried about meat shortages. Packing plants have been shut down and all the rest. We don't have to get into all that. Supply chains have been disrupted, and again, who knows what kind of times we're in for, but these are all disconcerting in a number of ways. It's not that we don't trust the Lord. We certainly do, but there's a biblical balance. We know that God is sovereign. We know that human beings are responsible. We call evil evil. We call pain pain. We don't grieve as those who have no hope, but it doesn't mean that we don't grieve over certain things. And so how like a widow is the lonely city, the city that was full of people, who was great among the nations. I think that we are apt to see America lose some of her greatness. She's lost a lot of it over the years, no doubt about that. But I think we're seeing a lot of cracks in the surface, as it were. I'm not going to go down that road too far today. But here's a line right out of Lamentations 1:1: "The princess among the provinces has become a slave." And there's a very real sense in which the people are enslaved. When you take away the rights that have been taken away, even in an emergency situation, we are enslaved. And I don't think that these rights are coming back, at least not in the measure that we had them. They certainly didn't come back after 9/11. We lost a certain amount of rights there. We're losing more here, and we've talked about that. So again, I don't need to go down that road too far either. But I'm lamenting over certain things today. That's why Lamentations is certainly appropriate. Now, as I said at the top of the broadcast, concerned about this issue of social distancing. I mean, when you think about the reality of who God is one God who's manifested himself in three persons. He is Trinitarian, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's a very real sense in which when you understand that and you read certain things that are said in the scriptures, you understand that God, in a very real sense, he's one God, but he's communal. He's community in and of himself. And one of the reasons that the Christian community is so important is because we are reflecting God in that. We are part of the family of God, and the Christian faith community is just an expression, in some sense, of the nature of God. We know that the Father and the Son, according to John 1, had face-to-face fellowship before the foundation of the world. And this face-to-face fellowship that we have with one another, this face-to-face fellowship in Christ that we have with God in a very real sense, again, it's all rooted in God's nature. And so people are meant to be in community. We're created in the image of God, and God wants us to be social, not unsocial. Social distancing is not a biblical dynamic, and I'm not wanting to come across cavalier in any way, shape, or form. I tend to think theologically, and that's what I'm trying to do at the moment. What is the Christian worldview when it comes to the particular things that are happening in our culture at this particular time? You can go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, and God said this: it's not good for man to be alone. Now, again, we understand that in context, he's talking about Adam and how Adam needed a companion, and he brought the animals and all that, and they weren't suitable, and ultimately he brought Eve. Well, he made Eve out of Adam's side, and we understand, and we remember the story, and again, husband and wife, family, community, but there's a larger principle there. It's not merely that it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. It's not good for human beings to be alone. That's the biblical principle behind it, and there's an application here. It's not good for us to be alone. And you know as well as I, we know that when folk are isolated, they tend to have certain idiosyncrasies pop up over time that they wouldn't normally have. They tend to get depressed a little bit more easily. And we could go on down the list, but when folk are in isolation from other human beings, to say the least, it's not a good thing. And these are things that are very concerning to me. And I know they're concerning to you, and that's why I'm raising them again in this context of social distancing. It's all over the place. You can go to Proverbs 18:1, for example, and it says this: a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Now, again, you're talking about an individual there who doesn't want any help from anyone else. He isolates himself. He's not wise. He's turned in on himself. But again, the broader application is certainly the reality of anyone who's isolated for whatever the reason. Things happen that are not, that are not good. And I encourage men and women, boys and girls who name the name of Christ to think through these things. Now, certainly, if you are high risk, if you're in one of those high risk categories, you're an older person, you have lung issues, you have respiratory issues, you have other underlying conditions, cancer treatments, heart disease, diabetes, all that. If you're in a high risk category, then yes, you need to take all kinds of precautions. And the truth of the matter is you need to take those same kinds of precautions, whether it's COVID-19 or what we call seasonal flu, influenza. We'll be talking a little bit more about that in just a few moments, hopefully, but I'm simply urging those who are high risk to take careful precautions, make sure you're taking care of yourself. And those who are around persons who are high risk, it might be your dad or your mom or your grandparents, or maybe you're just a caretaker, or maybe you're just visiting your neighbor, you need to be extremely careful in terms of these folk in high risk categories, that you don't take, an unwanted illness to them, and ultimately they perish. Obviously, we're concerned about these things. But in general, except for those who are in the high risk category, social distancing really is the world's answer. It's not God's answer. It's the world's answer. That's my point. Came across a piece from a group of doctors from Alabama. Between them, they have well over 100 years of practice. They've treated hundreds of thousands of patients suffering infectious diseases, including mission trips. They've treated patients on 5 continents. And it's a very lengthy piece. It's very interesting, but they talk about the truths and lies of the current coronavirus situation. Now, again, they admit, like the rest of us, that many people have died from COVID-19. There's no doubt about it. It's an actual medical disease that will lead to tragic deaths. However, again, there are, you know, a number of things that need to be said about this that aren't being said in the mainstream media, that kind of thing. One of the things that the mainstream media is telling us is that we don't know much about the coronavirus. And according to these doctors, that is simply not true. We know a great deal about this coronavirus. One of the things that the media is telling us is that COVID-19 is more infectious than influenza. And that is not true. In fact, they give numbers here. I don't have time to go through these numbers based on what I'm talking about today. But influenza is more infectious than COVID-19. That's what these doctors say. Then, of course, in the mainstream media, we're told that COVID-19 is more dangerous than the flu. And again, the doctors give numbers and they say, nope, COVID-19 is not more dangerous than the flu. The mainstream media says that the fact that one does not know that he or she has COVID-19 makes it more dangerous. That is not true either. In fact, let me just read you what they say on this particular issue. This is a quote from these medical doctors. All viruses shed and are primarily spread while the infected host is asymptomatic. Repeat, all viruses do this. We use the term virulence to describe how dangerous a virus is. The more virulent, the more likely to cause infection or more severe symptoms. One's chance of becoming infected with anything is multifactorial. In other words, lots of things come into play. The infectiousness and quantity of the pathogen comes into play. Your level of rest, nutrition, stress, age, and general health comes into play as well. In the case of influenza, all right, hear me on this. In the case of the flu, if you contract it, you are going to get sick. There will never be a time where the NBA tests hundreds of players and staff to find 14 cases of influenza, 2 with mild symptoms and 12 with no symptoms. If you get influenza, even if you are Michael Jordan, who had perhaps the most famous flu game of all time, you are going to know. That is because the flu is so virulent that in 24 to 48 hours, it overwhelms even the immune system of a healthy adult and you develop symptoms. But in that 24 hours, it is multiplying. Everyone around you is at risk. Everyone around you is at risk. Depending on the exact exposure, the risk goes from high probability to certainty of contracting. For instance, if a high school student kisses their boyfriend or girlfriend during that day, they are getting the flu, period. But COVID-19 is so much less virulent. Now, hear the doctors on this. COVID-19 is so much less virulent, it usually never overcomes the immune system of a healthy adult. Yes, they will shed this virus for up to 2 weeks, but most people around them still won't get it. They give this football example, which I'm not going to give. I think it's very interesting, but I'll leave that for another time. But these doctors are trying to say, with numbers and a little bit of, educating us to go along with it, that the flu is way more virulent and dangerous and contagious and infectious than COVID-19. It is true that COVID-19 in general is more dangerous to the elderly and immunocompromised. That's why I encouraged just a few minutes ago those who are in high risk groups to protect themselves. But here's what these doctors say. That doesn't really mean anything. You know, hear them on this. COVID-19 is more dangerous to the elderly and immunocompromised, but that doesn't really mean anything in and of itself because everything is more dangerous to these individuals. So that's why we need to protect these individuals. He also says that, and this is what we've been saying for a long time, it's now almost impossible for anyone in the general public or general medical community to know the actual number of deaths from COVID-19, and that's because they're cooking the books. I won't get into that. I've talked about it before. You can do your own research, but the numbers that we're given now are phony. I mean, we read of cases where somebody literally is killed in a car accident, and if they're discovered afterward to have had COVID-19 or whatever the case, they're going to be listed as a COVID-19 death. That is manipulation. That is a lie. That's one of the things that's so disconcerting here. We know someone. My wife was telling me about this. Maybe it's an acquaintance. Maybe she knows this person. I'm not sure. But someone was telling her that their loved one was already in hospice. It was a cancer patient, already in hospice and ultimately died. When they got the death certificate back, it listed COVID-19 as the cause. We don't even know if she had COVID-19, just suspected to have had COVID-19. And that's how they added, as I said in previous broadcast, and maybe I didn't, but you remember the headline just a few days ago where it said in one day, deaths in New York, COVID-19 deaths in New York soared to over 10,000. Well, that's because they added 3,700 deaths to that total number that weren't classified as COVID-19 deaths prior to that. They're now classified as COVID-19 deaths simply because they suspect that folk may have had the virus. And of course, they're cooking the books. They're trying to get the numbers up as high as they can because the numbers are not nearly as high as they predicted. And that's where we are. And it is egregious. It's grievous. It's both. So I recommend you continue to do your own research. These doctors tell us that the current policies instituted by our local, state, and national governments are causing greater health problems than the virus ever will. And they list all of the things that that have been created as a result of this isolation that I'm talking about, this shutdown that I'm talking about. And they go on to say that the media as a whole has grossly misrepresented this disease. That's where we are. We're being lied to, and I've said that before. How grievous is that? Now, again, I'm quoting this group of doctors on this. This is their opinion, and they make it clear this is their opinion. But the way in which the media has pushed fear nonstop amounts to psychological warfare against this country. And they also go on to say that the media will continue to fight reopening of this country by stating experts predict a spike in deaths if we do so. And we're already hearing that. Not every country has shut down their economy, these doctors point out. None of those countries have suffered higher rates of death because they've kept their economy going. And they go on to say that medical organizations have failed this country. And one of the things that grieves me, not only because of that reality, but from a Christian perspective, it's not that we don't have the knowledge or the technology that we need to help in this kind of crisis. We can keep the economy going, deal with COVID-19, deal with all of these things that we're dealing with all at the same time. We can do it without shutting the world down, and we could have had far less deaths if we would implement the right kind of response to this COVID-19 disease, if we'd look through a biblical lens and do what's right rather than look through a political or a secular lens or an agendized or a weaponized lens, whatever the case may be. These doctors point out that the NBA canceled their season voluntarily with no external domestic pressures, and China is a huge market for them. Why they do it? They raise the question. No one looked into that. These doctors say that people need to do their own research, and we're duped because we don't. They also talk about some other individuals. I won't get into that in my particular comments. In fact, I've quoted from the article too much. Suffice it to say, these doctors say that COVID-19 has been treated as a world ender. It is not even remotely close, they say. It's a political crisis, they say, not a medical crisis. And I would wholeheartedly agree. They've got facts and figures. They've got stats. I encourage you to look it up. It's called Coronavirus Truths. You can probably Google that and find that. Coronavirus Truths, again, a group of medical doctors from Alabama. Just take a look. But again, my issue is certainly the manipulation of the numbers, the shutdown, and now the social distancing and the harm that all of this is causing, and it doesn't have to be this way. And social distancing, of course, even these doctors imply that it really doesn't work. Those that have not shut down their economies, those nations, their numbers are not any higher than those nations that did shut them down. And you can't stop a virus. We've talked about that before. And look, if you go to the grocery store, if you go to the drive-thru, if you go to Home Depot, if you go to the bank, if you go anywhere, I mean, there's so many instances, especially over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, there's so many ways that you've already been exposed. Again, this whole lockdown, you've locked down certain segments, but not other segments. Part of what's happening is the government is picking winners and losers. There are some people who are winning economically on this. A lot of national chains, a lot of big names, a lot of big contributors, and then there are losers. The folks across our land who have started businesses, who have pumped money into this, that, or the other, and they've been shut down. Restaurants have been shut down. You understand all of that. Why should the government pick winners and losers? This is a big concern. It's a big issue for freedom. This is not our father's America anymore. And this social distancing, it tears us apart. Have you seen the way people look at you when you go to the grocery store, the way they back away? How people report one another for going out for a jog? It divides us as a nation. And we are subjected to a barrage of social distancing ads, TV, billboards, signs all over the place. And the inconsistency, as I mentioned a moment ago, I mean, I was in Home Depot the other day. The crowds there are massive. And yet other places are closed down, and other places by the stores themselves, but in some counties, you're forced to wait in the parking lot, and I think this might even be the case in the state in which I live. X number of people only can be in the store, and so you stand in line in the parking lot shoulder to shoulder, and then you're released to go into a massive store where there's plenty of space. You'd be much better off just to let them go into the store. And so there are a number of inconsistencies. You've got these crowds at Home Depot, but we're discouraged from going to church. We've been discouraged from going to church in our parking lots. We've been discouraged from going to church even if we social distance, although I'm not an advocate of social distancing in church, that's for sure, because of what I'm talking about. You go into the grocery store and they've got arrows on the floor. Some people see them and follow them. Some people ignore them. If the stores were trying to do that because they were concerned for our health or because they were concerned for market share, that'd be great. But they're doing it because they've been mandated to. And obviously, I can't fault them for that, but I object to the mandate. We're supposed to be about bringing people together. That's what Christians are about. That's part of what I'm grieved over. I hope I'm not coming across as just a complainer or, you know, taking shots at folk or belittling folk who are genuinely fearful. I know you're fearful, because how could you not be fearful based on what we hear on the mainstream media? If you don't do any, you know, other reading, if you're not conversing with others, I mean, how could you not be fearful? And even if you read broadly, there's still this, you know, little seed of doubt in your mind. Well, what if the mainstream media is right? And yeah, you know, because they don't give us the numbers that we need. They've manipulated the numbers. They've cooked the books, as I've said. So I really can't blame you for being fearful. I understand. But we shouldn't be fearful. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I'm talking to believers on that score. And again, we take responsibility, but in this situation, we've been deceived. We now know things that we didn't know 6 weeks ago. And we knew a lot 6 weeks ago, even though a lot of folk didn't know a lot 6 weeks ago. But we've known a lot since then, and we know a lot more now. The government would have us believe that every single American has suddenly become a transmitter of a deadly virus. And that's what people believe. That's why people don't want to get around one another. And that's why people walk down the street in the broad daylight and the sunshine, and they're not within any, you know, there's no one around for 100 or 200 yards, and they're wearing masks. And again, it's because of the propaganda that's been forced upon them, foisted upon them. It's because of the fear-mongering that's been going on. It's this notion that every single American is a transmitter of a deadly virus. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, said recently that the virus is death. He was criticizing protesters, those who want to open the economy to get the restaurants going again, those who are out of work, those who need to work to survive. Did you read about this sting operation in Texas where the police were surveilling this woman who was doing haircuts in her home, and they raided her home? And she said, I can't pay my mortgage. I've got to do these haircuts. But we shut her down. That is not America, certainly not Christian. And I can't believe it's the America that most people want to live in. Sure, it's the America that some people want to live in, and I cannot for the life of me understand it. Listen, some of these things are spiritual issues, that's for sure. And you're spiritually blind, but some of these issues are just common sense issues, American issues. And I cannot understand where some folk are coming from. And I'm grieved. You can't fight that. You can't combat that. Well, with prayer, you could. Spreading the gospel, that's the issue there too. But Andrew Cuomo, again, to get back to what he said, you know, these folk are saying we've got to get back to work. And there's some things, now here's the quote, here's the line, there's some things that are worse than the virus. And Cuomo said, what could be worse than the virus? The virus is death. And friends, that's the message that's being put out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The virus is not death. Yes, it's death for some. But over 99% of the people recover from the virus. And most folk will never get it. And most folk who do get it will experience mild symptoms if they even are aware that they have it. And we've shut the world down. This is unprecedented. And it should not have been done. Not only because of liberty, but there was no medical warrant to shut the world down. There's no medical warrant to keep it shut down. There is no medical warrant to do what they're doing. But see, they're committed now. They can't turn around and say, oh, we were wrong. They can't do that. You realize that, right? And we as Christians need to kind of think a little bit deeper on these things. I'm just encouraging a little bit of thought. I'm trying to encourage us. I mean, I'm not doing a good job because all of this is discouraging. But I want to encourage us to think and to be at peace regardless of what happens, regardless of what goes on. I can point out the atrocities. I can point out how grievous these things are. And yet we know God's in charge. We've said that from the beginning. We can rest in Him regardless. But it doesn't mean that we don't point out the things that are wrong. But we need to have the right attitude. We need to be optimistic, as it were. There's a big difference in your attitude if you're, say, a defeatist kind of person, one who has a defeatist attitude, one who sees himself or herself as a victim, even in this situation, or one who feels empowered by the Spirit to continue to walk in the Spirit come what may.
That was part one of Rethinking Social Distancing. Tune in on Friday for part two. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview. And the gospel.